Okay, let's try that again. Had to flip the switch. Okay, great to be in the house of God this morning, and a happy welcome to the hundreds of you in here and the other, the thousands more joining us virtually. We say welcome, and it's a pleasure to join you today. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's been going through stuff. You know, sometimes it's okay to go through stuff. The world is seemingly going crazy around us, and you don't know what to think anymore. You don't know what to do, and it just becomes overwhelming at times. But I'm always reminded, you know, some days I'm physically drained, some days I'm emotionally drained. But there's one thing I try to hold on to, and that's the spiritual part of me. I try not to let become spiritually drained, because that's the last thing, in my opinion, that we have to hold on to. So today we're going to talk briefly, and I stress briefly, okay. We're gonna talk about faith this morning. There's been many, and I apologize, I don't think there's notes, so you gotta get the fingers working this morning. Yeah. Or the phones or whatever. Now, for you who have your phones, if you promise not to glance at the score during my message, I promise you, you would be able to watch the second half at least. Okay? So we're going to talk about, and it's, the title of the message this morning is Prevailing Faith. Prevailing Faith. When I was in Bible school many, many years ago, we had a course on prevailing faith, and it was one of my favorite courses. The Bible itself defines faith. Most of us know the passage, Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 1 through 3. The NIV says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." Verse 3, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." The New King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." The New Living Translation. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So you see, each of these translations brings out a little bit more. The Message Bible says in same passage, chapter 11, Hebrews, verses 1 through 3, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living." I like that. It is our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. And finally, we have the what I like to call the wordy version, otherwise known as the amplified. Now, faith is the assurance. I'm reading this, I can just hear Donzie's voice in my ear. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony borne to them and obtained a good report. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. So from all these passages, we glean the fact that faith is something real, is something tangible, right? It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now we go to the dictionary definition. Faith is defined by Webster's as A, allegiance to a duty or a person or loyalty, fidelity to one's promises, sincerity of intentions, belief and trust in and loyalty to God, belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. I like this one. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Even Webster says that, can you imagine? Complete trust is another definition. Something that is believed, especially with strong conviction, especially a system of religious belief on faith without question. I'm quoting Webster's. Now, what is substance? Because we see those words used in the definition, right? In the biblical definition. Substance, the word substance is defined by Webster's as essential nature, essence, a fundamental or characteristic part or quality, ultimate reality that underlies all outward manifestations and change. Practical importance, meaning usefulness. Evidence is defined by Webster's. So we got faith, we got substance, now evidence. An outward sign, an indication, something that furnishes proof, testimony, or one who bears witness. Now let's go to some Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in. The Greek word hypostasis, that is translated substance in the English Bible that we have, means a setting or placing under, thing put under, such as a substructure or a foundation. Okay. Another definition is that which has foundation, is firm, that which has actual existence, a substance, being a real being, the substantial quality nature of a person or thing, or the steadfastness of mind firmness, courage, resolution, confidence, firm trust, and assurance. So those are the different meanings of the word, the Greek word hypostasis, which is translated substance in several passages, including Hebrews 11. The Greek word elektos. We don't have any Greek speakers in here, do we? Which is translated as evidence, means proof. That by which a thing is proved or tested or a conviction. Okay, so I'm saying all this to set a foundation for our study this morning, that faith is not just some idea. It is not just some far-flung theory. It is not something that is not, that has no substance, that has no evidence. We see from the biblical definition that it is the substance. And it is the evidence. Right? God spoke the universe into existence. So that's what the scripture says, that things which we see now were made by things, or were put into existence by things which were unseen. Amen? It is one of those concepts, and I must admit, like the triune nature of God, that is kind of difficult for the human mind to wrap around. Part of the reason that makes it more difficult is that we live in an age where people think everything has to be proven in a lab or scientifically, or else is not true. Amen? But God said in his word that, you know, the way you think is not the way I think. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Because I'm God and you're not. So quit trying to understand how I move. Quit trying to understand what I do and how I do it. Amen? The word said we are made in his image and after his likeness. He made us, he created us to have fellowship with him. Intimate fellowship with him. And that comes only through the foundation. We saw in one of the definitions that faith is actually a foundation upon which everything else is built. And we know that the foundation is so important, because if that foundation is shaky and not firm and steadfast, then when the storms come and the wind blows, that house is going to fall. Amen? So we want to make sure that our foundation is firm, because everything depends on that foundation. So why is faith so important? Number one, we need faith in order to be saved. That you can't get more fundamental than that, right? Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's from the New International Version. So, it is by grace right? God paying the price that we deserve so that we didn't have to pay it. But it only comes what? Through faith. It is nothing we deserve. It is nothing we can do in our own power. And God gives each and every one of us the measure of faith that we need to believe him. It's nothing we got to go search for. Amen? So we need faith to be saved. Another scripture that follows that is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Hebrews 4, 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So, a lot of people hear the word. Some act on it. Some don't. What does this scripture say? Ephesians said, by faith, by grace, through faith. Hebrews says they heard it, but because it was not acted upon, it was not mixed with faith, it didn't profit them. See, if you have a bag of cement, until you add some stuff to it, it doesn't become concrete, right? It's just the powder. So it needs to, it's grace through faith that we need in order to be saved. And that's the most fundamental, because without grace and without faith, we are forever lost. Amen? And the word of God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Second reason faith is so important is that we need faith to be sure. We need faith to be saved. We need faith to be sure. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22 and ending at verse 29. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Isn't that good? What is this scripture saying? It's saying that, and Pastor Jim, and we say this a lot, people who say they don't believe or they don't care about the Old Testament, they only care about the New Testament, are missing the boat. What the scripture says is that all the law in the Old Testament helped to prepare us for the time of grace in the New Testament. when the promise of God to reconcile us back to himself was fulfilled. The problem is some of us who have been saved by grace are still trying to live under the law. What did Jesus say when they learned it, when the religious people tried to trap him? You asked him about following the law, he said, excuse me, I did not come to abolish the law. Why did I come? Jesus speaking, to fulfill the law. So we who have accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we no longer live under the law. We live under grace. We no longer have to make yearly animal sacrifices because Jesus has paid it all. And then what did Paul say? He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Not that because we're not under the law doesn't mean we just do everything against God's will, because he has his spirit living within us. And we have his word that tells us what brings pleasure and joy to him. And because we love him so much, because he first loved us, we want to do what pleases him. Amen? Most of us, when we were growing up, wanted to do what pleased our parents. I don't know so much about the modern generation, but when we were growing up, we wanted to see our parents happy. We'd bend over backward to make them happy. Even if we did something that they didn't like, we tried to fix it before they found out. But we need faith to be sure, to be confident in our salvation, to be confident that God, his scripture said, God who has started a good work in us, that he's able to see it to completion. Amen? Our salvation was never meant to be an experiment. Oh, if it works out, fine. If it doesn't, well, oh well, whatever. No. We don't serve a whatever God. We serve a God who knew we would be sitting here today from the beginning of eternity. That's the kind of God we serve. And he's intimately concerned with each and every detail of our lives. Amen? He's not overwhelmed by all our issues, believe you me. No. Sometimes we come to God crying, oh, I know you're busy with a lot of other important issues, but I have this. No. He's concerned with us. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 10 and 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In full assurance of faith. So we need faith to be sure. That foundation, that solid bedrock upon which everything else is built. We need that faith to be sure. So we need faith to be saved. We need faith to be sure. Number three, we need faith to be strong. We need faith to be strong. Ephesians 6, 12 through 17. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we have an enemy that's seeking to destroy us. That's his only mission in life. And God has given us what we need in order to be victorious. He's already won the victory. Amen? He's already won the victory, but the enemy has not stopped trying. So we need faith, among other things, in order to be strong, so that when the trials come, when the temptations come, when the tribulations come, when the persecutions come, we will continue to stand steadfast. We will continue to stand sure. We will continue to stand resolute, because we know in whom we have believed, and know that he who saved us is able to take us through whatever it is we face. First Timothy chapter number 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So that's an action word, right? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight to maintain our foundation. Fight to maintain our standing. Because it is a good fight. And it leads to holding on to eternal life, because that's what we're assured of in the end. We're not just beating the air out of frustration. We're holding on to our faith because we know God has promised us that those that endure to the end shall be saved. If we believe him, we believe his word. And the fourth and final point, we need faith to be successful. We need faith to be saved. We need faith to be sure. We need faith to be strong. And we need faith to be successful. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen? So it is no longer I. Because I've been bought with a price. And the word of God says that once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that he sends his Holy Spirit the comforter, the teacher, our guide, to live within us. Amen? So it is no longer I who live. So when I'm living my life, I have to live it in a manner that I'm conscious that is not me. That I need to be reflecting my Savior Jesus Christ. When I'm talking, when I'm intermingling with folks, do they see Jesus in me? Am I reflecting the love of Jesus Christ to my neighbors, to my co-workers, to my family? Because that's what makes us successful. When I say successful, I mean successful in accomplishing the purposes of God in our lives. I'm not speaking of successful in worldly terms, because we could have so many definitions of successful, right? A lot of us think successful means having a lot of money. I don't think so, but that's just my opinion. People who have a lot of money have way more problems than you and I. just saying. But to be successful at accomplishing the purpose for which God saved me and God saved you. Because whether you know it or not, you are not saved because he had nothing better to do. No. We were saved to accomplish something to further his kingdom here on earth. And if I don't do what my purpose is, then I have failed and become unsuccessful. Because guess what? You don't know what my purpose is, and you probably won't do my purpose, but he has a purpose for you also. So that's how we become successful. And again, it is based on faith. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Hebrews, go back to chapter 11, but skip down to verse 6. This is pretty blunt. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, there's a whole nother message right in there. It is impossible . We sing the song that nothing is impossible with God, but there's some things that are impossible with us, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why? Because without faith, and the passage tells us why. For he who comes to God must believe two things. Number one, must believe that he is who he says he is. Amen? Must believe that he's the creator of all that was, that is, and that is to come. Must believe that he is the beginning, he is the end. He's the first and the last and everything else in between. So must not only believe that he is, but secondly, must also believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So not only is he who he says he is, but part B to that is that he will do what he says he will do. Amen? A lot of us like to focus on all the good parts of what God said he will do. a lot of the promises, even in the Old Testament, start with the word if. If you do X, Y, Z, then I will do X, Y, Z. So we always skip that first part and go to the second part about how we'll be prosperous and everything will be fine. Am I lying? No, I don't think so, because I'm guilty of the same thing. But we have to believe that what he says he will do, including the part that what will happen if we don't do what we're supposed to do and believe him for who he said he is. Amen? We have to take the Bible in its entirety, because it's all the Word of God. So faith is foundational. It's not optional. It's not something to say, well, you know, I don't have enough faith. Well, no, you do have enough to do what God wants you to do at a specific time. Amen? You know, and Jesus illustrated that really well when he gave the parable about the mustard seed. I mean, it is such a tiny, I think it was one of the smallest seeds you could find. And he said, if you only had that much, you could say to the mountain, be moved. Yeah. So what our problem is, a lot of time, is just not acting on the faith that we already have. Amen? And I think it's a trick of the enemy. He convinces us that, you know, if you just had as much faith as X or Y, look at the things you could do. You really don't have enough. You need to pray for more. No, no, no. We have enough measure of faith already at any point in time to accomplish God's purposes in our lives, in that place, and in that time. Because guess what? He will never require us to do something that we can't do. He's not a God that sets us up to fail. No. No, he doesn't. But we need to believe, number one, that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Last thing before we close. We read in the definition in Hebrews 11:1-3, and all the versions say it a little bit different. But I like to zero in. By faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let's let that sink in for a while. NIV says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. Message says, by faith we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. What am I trying to say? Faith is active even when we don't see. Amen? And that's what makes it difficult for a lot of us, because a lot of us don't trust or believe till we can feel it, till we can see it, till we can smell it, till we can touch it. And then once that happens, there's no longer faith. Amen? Faith is only active when we can't see it.
But we still believe it. Why? Because the Word of God says so. And we believe in who He is. Because He's told us who He is. And we believe that He's totally capable of accomplishing what He said He will do. That's it. You know, God said it. What the saying goes, God said it, I believe it. And that settles it for me. Whether you believe it or not, it's still true. Amen? Yeah, whether you believe it or not, it's still true. Because God said it. And His word is forever settled in heaven and on the earth. Amen? We don't have a closing song this morning, so we're just going to close now in prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. You are God all by Yourself. And You share Your glory with no one. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You are the creator of all that was, that is, and that is to come. You spoke the worlds into existence. So we worship You this morning. We exalt You this morning. We lift You up high this morning because You are worthy to be praised. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the assurance that You've given us in Your word. We thank You that You've given each and every one of us the measure of faith that we need to be successful. Oh, I pray this morning, Lord, that we will be cognizant of that fact, that we will not just allow our faith to lie dormant, but that we will act on it, that we'll put our faith into actions. James said, faith without works is dead. And Lord, I pray that our faith will be resurrected within us this morning, that it will be put into action, that we will affect those around us by shining the light of Jesus Christ into the world in which we live. Oh Lord, I pray for those that are sick this morning. I pray a healing touch from You upon them, Lord. Wherever they are, whether it's COVID or cancer, Lord, none of those is any match for Your healing power. And we thank You this morning. We lift up our whole congregation, Lord. We pray for health. We pray for strength. We pray for our nation this morning. Oh, we pray for our leaders, Lord. We pray they will look up to You for direction and wisdom, and not only in their own strength or wisdom, Lord. And Father, we pray. Your word commands us to pray for those in authority, that we may lead peaceful lives. And so we lift them up before You, the president, the vice president, the legislature, the Congress, the Supreme Court, Lord. We pray You will lead them and guide them. Bless our leaders. Bless our congregation this morning. And we pray, Lord, as we leave this place, that Your sweet Holy Spirit will abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.